Thank you for listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Up next is a replay of our Sunday, September 29th church service with a message for Pastor Jeff and music from the worship team.
What a privilege we share. Being able to just experience and enjoy and be enveloped in the presence of God. To be loved with an everlasting love. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never abandon you. You can always count on me. Even when it doesn't seem like it, I'm there. This morning, we're going to welcome Pastor Jeff Cox. Cheryl and I usually drive 2.5 hours to get here to minister on Sundays. And Jeff and his family drove 7.5 hours to be here with you this morning. And so why don't you welcome Pastor Jeff as he comes and shares the word.
Wow, you guys are just, I just feel wrecked by worship this morning. I know just spending time with Pastor Murray and the leaders, I know that you guys have been through a lot. And ditto, we've been through a lot the last few years too, and I haven't felt the Holy Spirit. I'm a wreck. There's just such a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit here, and I'm just feeling so blessed by God. I'm like, to be honest with you, we'll get to the word in a minute here. Thank you so much. You know, we've been through a lot as a family, and I know that you guys have been through a lot and a lot of similar things, and. This is the first time I've spoken in front of a crowd in 3 years. And I wasn't even sure that I was ever going to preach the word of God again. And just because I was just so broken by some of the things that had happened. And so, you know, if I can just encourage you guys, I came for a visit a few weeks ago with my son, and I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit then too. And then this morning I was barely able to keep it together. I just wanted to cry before God. That's been a long time since I felt the Holy Spirit that way. So it kind of excites me. Kind of excites me a lot, actually. And just such a nice word of encouragement, a prophetic word. I don't know the brother that spoke that. Thank you for speaking that. In obedience? Okay. All right. Suck it up. Act like a man, right? praise the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord this morning to just anoint this word, that you will leave here encouraged and challenged. Let's pray. I'm just going to try my best to keep it together. Ooh, God is good, isn't he? Yes. What a sweet presence. Father, we just thank you. We thank you so much. I'm just humbled this morning by your presence. Even in the midst of brokenness, Lord, God, you use us. You use us, you heal us, you bind the broken heart. And I just thank you for your grace this morning, Lord. Your grace is just such an amazing thing. And so, Father, as I share this word that you've given me, I pray that it would penetrate the hearts of every single person, that they would hear what's from you. And Lord, if there's just something that's just not from you, I pray that it would just fall away. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been praying for you guys. Well, I guess I can just talk for a little bit. You guys are kind of a captivated audience right now, right? So It's so funny. Nancy and I and the kids have been praying and wondering if the Lord was going to bring us back into ministry. And, you know, I love Ken Russell. He's been such a blessing to me over the years. And when I finally did reach out to our fellowship and said, hey, okay, Ken, I think I'm ready to think about this again. And he's like, okay, send me all your information and I'm going to send your resume out. And so he did. And I got calls from different churches and we talked and I'm like, oh, nothing felt right. Nothing felt right. And then I don't know how I heard about you guys, but I said, you know, Ken, maybe, what do you think? And send my resume to you guys. And that was a few months went by or 2 months went by and I'm getting more and more just discouraged. I'm like, okay, maybe this is it, you know. And I was sharing with Daryl and the leadership. When I'm feeling like I have to have an honest conversation with the Lord, I go up into the mountains. And I do something physical. So I was up in the mountains, and I was chopping wood and kind of having it out with the Lord. I remember just saying, Lord, you have this ministry. I'm done. I give it all to you. I don't ever need to be a pastor again. You know, like I can serve you in whatever way. And it's so funny. And so I have this conversation with the Lord. And I'm like, I just gave it up. I thought, I gave it up to the Lord. And it's like, and on the way down the hill, my phone beeps. And it's Mr. Daryl. He's like, hey, hello. This is Daryl, and I'm calling from Creston. I'm like, oh, okay. So anyways, God is good, right? And he's gracious, and we can be honest to the Lord. I'm just excited to be here. What's it? Right on. I've been praying and felt that what I should bring, the message I should bring is a message on grace. I love the name of your church, Grace Fellowship Church. And I believe God wants his church to be a place of grace. Amen? I don't think we've arrived at that, but I think that's what God wants. That when people come through the doors, they would experience the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, and so if you've had an encounter with Christ and you've accepted him as Savior and Lord, then you are that ambassador of love and grace. Amen? I believe that. We are the ambassadors of that love. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And what does it say? It says, God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, to be reconciled. To be reconciled. I think God wants to do something here this morning. I really do. I think the church is in the business of being that the people of reconciliation. Amen? Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you just need a reminder that Jesus loves you. Amen. He loves you. Right? Maybe you're here this morning, and you're struggling with secret sin. You're struggling with it, and it's created a bondage of shame in your life. Maybe that's you. Well, I got news for you. God's grace is big enough. Amen. It's big enough to bring freedom. I know there's a person here this morning that's been hurt by someone they trusted. I know that. But God wants you to forgive. God wants you to forgive. Not only so that God can work in that person's life, but so you can experience God's love and his grace. Amen? That's the most important thing. I was reminded, as I was thinking about you guys, and I was reminded of just a moment with my daughter when she was little. You know, she used to look at me with her big blue eyes, big grin on her face. And she used to look, because it's so funny. She used to just follow me around. If I was moving around, she was looking at me and grinning. And you know what? She just wanted to know if I noticed her. And I think that's what God wants to do this morning. I think he wants to remind you that he sees you. He sees you. And that's what I used to say to my daughter when she was doing that. I'd say, I see you. Yes, I do. I see you. Yes, I do. And I think that's what Jesus wants to say to you this morning. He sees you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He sees everything. He sees the hurt. He sees the joy. He sees the pain and brokenness. He sees it all. And he wants to say to you, I see you. Yes, I do. I see you. Yes, I do. Isn't that something? The maker of the universe. The great I am. The great I am says to you this morning, I see you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So I've been thinking about that a lot. What does it mean to have a culture of grace in your life, in the church? And I guess the best place to start, right, is right here. You want to know what real grace is? You've got to go to the Gospels, amen? You've got to go to the life of Jesus, amen? And so this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke 19. Luke 19. Luke 19, we can get there in a minute. Let me give you a little backstory of what's going on in Luke chapter 19. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Do you know Zacchaeus? Yeah, I love Zacchaeus. I love him a lot. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And very shortly, he's going to be put on trial. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to go to the cross for the sins of the world. But before all that takes place, he's walking through this little town called Jericho. Ooh. He's walking through this little town, Jericho, and there's a big crowd. There's a big crowd by that time because, you know, Jesus has been a rabbi, he's been a teacher, he's been a healer, he's been a miracle worker, and people were following him. They were following him. So as they're going through this little town of Jericho, there's this huge crowd, and all of a sudden, like, people are saying, like, what's going on? There's only one main road through Jericho. It's the road to Jerusalem. And so they start to gather. They start to say, hey, what's going on? What's going on? And they start to line the streets. And Zacchaeus comes along, and he's not a very well-liked man. He's a short little man, right? Remember the Bible or the Sunday school song, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And so he's interested. He's like, what? About this Jesus guy, right? And so he tries to go and see, but he can't get through the mob. And I think that's probably on purpose. I'm going to take some artistic liberty here this morning, I hope, if that's okay. But I picture this mob along the streets, and here's little Zacchaeus, and he's jumping, and he's looking, and he's trying to push his way through, and the mob looks back, and they're like, oh, it's Zacchaeus, and they just get a little bit tighter. No way are you seeing Jesus. Right? And so Zacchaeus runs ahead, it says. We'll read it in a second, and he hops up in a tree, And it's so funny because, in, you know, I know, I suspect the crowd probably was like that, because if you go back to chapter 18, there's this story of this blind man and the crowd tells him to shut up. Leave Jesus alone. I mean, they were a pretty bold group, amen? It's like, back to our story here. Let's read verses 1 to 2. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town, and there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very wealthy. Very wealthy. Zacchaeus had a reputation, or another word of saying it is he had an identity. He had an identity. It's his public persona that I want to draw your attention to this morning, church. His reputation is clear. And it says something about who he was. In that day and age, to be a tax collector literally meant you were betraying your people. You were betraying your God for financial gain. It was a category to be a tax collector. See, Rome had conquered the land of the day, and they had too many places to worry about taxation. So what they did is they raised up the locals, they gave them some soldiers, and they said, you collect our tax. We don't care how much you collect, as long as we get our share. And so Zacchaeus had become a rich man by ripping people off. So when we read about Zacchaeus, we see his identity. It's his reputation. He was the chief tax collector. He was wealthy. I think, it's... Lord, help me. I think sometimes there's two sides of us. And I think that's really evident in Zacchaeus' life. There's the public you, and then there's the private you. And sometimes, those are totally opposite people. Right? The one wonderful thing about Jesus, though, knowing Jesus, is as you get to know Jesus, those two become closer together. What you see is what you get, right? And so Zacchaeus had this public image. His public persona. He was the tax collector. In fact, it says he was the chief tax collector. He was really good at ripping people off. That's what people knew about him. He had everything you would ever want physically. Probably had a nice home, had all the money he would want, all the food he would want, all the wine and the booze he would want. Probably had an entourage that was following him around because they were paid to do so. And yet it says he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. This is what it says. He tried to get a look at Jesus. But he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead. He climbed the sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by there. What's that say? To me, you know what it says to me? Is that Zacchaeus was broken. That's what it says to me. Right? That he was desperate for something more than what he had. If that would have been weird for a tax collector that was in fancy clothes to run up the road and to climb a tree, that was not a normal thing for somebody like that to do. Was he just curious? Did he just want to see, hey, who's this guy? Maybe. Did he think maybe Jesus would say something to him? Maybe. Was he just so desperate for something different than what he had? Probably. Probably. I love this verse, verse 5. It says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. By name. Something truly incredible is about to happen. Zacchaeus said, quickly, or he said, Zacchaeus, quickly, come down. I must be a guest in your house today. Picture that, church. Here's the crowd. Here's the crowd, and they're like, what just happened? Like, do you know who this guy is, Jesus? And you're saying, I must go stay with you? In the middle of it all. Jesus stops, he stops, and he looks up, and he sees Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I have to stay with you today. The Son of God, God in human form, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created all the universe says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to stay with you. And you know what, church? He knows everything. He knows everything about Zacchaeus. He knows everything. Because Jesus has a way of looking at people and knowing everything. Story after story, that's what he does. That's probably your story. It's certainly mine. He looks up at Zacchaeus and he says, come on down. I'm staying with you. See, he doesn't see a man in a tree. And I suspect he sees what he sees right into the core of who Zacchaeus is. He knows he's not a good guy. He knows he's a thief and a robber, and come on down. That's what Jesus does. Sometimes we think we can act a way, a certain way, and we can perform our way, and we can act like, oh, and we can almost convince ourselves that everything's right. And then Jesus walks by or shows up. And he says, hey, Jeff, time to come down. Time to come out of the cave. Time to stop hiding. Let's get real. And that's what's happening with Zacchaeus. You know what Zacchaeus means in Hebrew? It means pure one or righteous one. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the pure one. The righteous one. Come on. I remember, we might be here a while. But I relate to Zacchaeus so much. In the midst of all the rebellion, in the midst of all the poor decisions, all the stuff that was going on in my life, God said, hey, Jeff, come on home. And you know what? I want to say this, and I want you to hear me, church. Guess what? It wasn't an audible voice that said that. It was God's people that said that. They loved me right back into the kingdom of God. They showed me the grace of Jesus Christ. I suspect that Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and he saw all the brokenness, all the wounds, all his core beliefs, all the lies that he had believed about himself. It says Zacchaeus quickly climbed down. Quickly climbed down. And he escorted Jesus to his house. With what? With great joy. With great joy. Great excitement, it says. But the people there were displeased. He's gone to be a guest with a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Woo! Thank God. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and you called a notorious sinner. Oh, Shana. I wrote this down, and I'm going to just share it. And this is what the Spirit of Christ would say to you. I see you. Yes, I do. I see everything about you. I want to come. I want to stay in your home. I want to be part of your life. I want to give you life to the fullest. I want to help you get free. I want to see your life transformed by my love. I want to bind up the brokenhearted. I want to heal your hurts. I want to break the chains of bondage off of you. I want to remove the stumbling block that has kept you from coming closer to me. I'm knocking on your door. And if you let me, I will dwell with you. I will stay with you. I see you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I love this story so much because something amazing is about to happen. You see, the public knew Zacchaeus a certain way. They see him as a jerk that steals their money. That's what they see. Jesus, you don't know who you're going to stay with. You don't want to go stay in his house. He's a notorious sinner. You don't know what he's done. You don't know who he is. That's what the crowd said about Zacchaeus. That's what they saw. Jesus sees Zacchaeus and he sees everything about him. He sees that he's a notorious sinner and he accepts him anyways. He says, come on down, Zacchaeus. That's quite the contrast between the crowd and our Lord. Amen? See, the crowd sees skin deep. Just sees the exterior. But Jesus looks at the heart. He sees your heart. The good, the bad, the ugly, all the nastiness. all the good. See, God doesn't look at the exterior of a man. He looks at the heart, amen? And Jesus is inviting Zacchaeus to a deeper relationship with him. A deeper relationship. How many of you believe you can go a little deeper with Jesus? Yeah. There's always more. There's always more. Deeper friendship. And look at this, church. This visit has an amazing effect on Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is in the midst of transformation. He's just met his Savior and his Lord, and he's like, I'm done with all this stuff. I've found what I've been looking for. Verse 8, meanwhile, I like that word, meanwhile. The crowd's saying, what are you doing, Jesus? What are you hanging out with this guy for? But meanwhile, despite what everybody else was looking at, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and he said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I've ripped anybody off, I'm going to repay them four times as much. Whew. Now that's transformation. What a dramatic change. Because Zacchaeus had experienced Jesus at the deepest level, church. At the deepest level, at the innermost being, at the core of who Zacchaeus was, he experienced Jesus. And let me tell you something, when that happens in your life, you are absolutely transformed. You are no longer that person. I'll tell you, when I came back to the Lord, let me tell you what I came back from. An angry young man that had a temper and a rage that you couldn't even comprehend. I was shy, I was angry, I was hurt, I was broken, and I was lost, and I was suicidal, and I was in the darkest, deepest hole you possibly could be in, pleading with God to just let me go. Under torment, under demonic oppression. And I thank God for the church, because that's where I met Jesus. That's where his Spirit came and got me from. And I was absolutely changed. Transformed. Went from this angry young man to this person that was just full of joy and love. Jesus changes us, amen? Hey, pure one, come on down. That's what Jesus says. He doesn't walk up to the tree and look up and give an old scowl and say, you know what, Jesus, or Zacchaeus, we need to talk about the way you've been living your life. Doesn't do that, does he? He says, Zacchaeus, let's go stay at your place. And the crowd says, ugh, what are you doing? You don't know who this guy is. Oh, yes, he did. He looked at Zacchaeus the same way God looked at Gideon. Looked past all the insecurity, all the brokenness, and he says, hey, pure one, righteous one, that's who you are. Maybe you believed some lies from the enemy, and maybe you went the wrong way, and maybe you betrayed your people and did all this stuff. That's not who you are. It's not who you are. You're the pure one. You're a pure one. He didn't need all the other stuff. Zacchaeus didn't need all the other stuff anymore because he met Jesus. That's what grace does, church. That's what grace does. When we realize we're fully known. We're fully known by God, by Jesus. And we're embraced by Jesus. Sin falls away. Sin falls away. Let's look at it. Verse 9 to 10. This is Jesus' response. Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, a true believer." Zacchaeus was lost. He lost trying to find his identity in material things, in power. But in Christ, he discovers he was a true son of Abraham. He discovers he's a child of God. You know, I suspect that Zacchaeus probably had heard a lot when he became a tax collector. Zacchaeus, you're no son of Abraham. You're no son of Abraham. You've betrayed us. You betrayed your God. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, no, you're a true son of Abraham. You're the pure one. You're a righteous one. Can you see that, church? That when we allow ourselves to hear the call of Christ in our lives, when we allow ourselves to be fully seen by Jesus, transformation takes place. I want to say this. I'm going to say this. You guys can just love me on this, right? Right? Just love me. Okay? Church, and I say this to myself. We really are the ambassadors of love and grace. And we need to remember that. Whether we're at work, whether we're in this building, whether we're walking down the street, whether we're sitting in a hockey rink, we are his ambassadors of this kind of grace. You know, the world says grace is you got to be tolerant. No. God's grace is loving someone enough to call them out. Call them by name. I love that. I had two men that I never met in my life that had words of knowledge for me that were so bang on that I could not deny that God existed. That was the church. They didn't come and say, hey, you got to get right. You got to fix this sin in your life. No, that's not what they did. They said, Jeff, let us pray for you. And they reminded me that God the Father, loved me with an everlasting love, a love that endures forever. We really need to allow ourselves to be seen by God. Amen? In the hurt, in the pain, in the suffering, we need to allow God to see us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the story of Zacchaeus. A story of transformation. A story of encounter. Father, I pray this morning for each one of us that we would have encounters with you that would be life transformational. And Father, I pray for the people that we come in contact with this week, that they too would have life transformational encounters with Jesus. Help us to be those ambassadors. Help us to share the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys.
Let's have the worship team come. Those words, I see you, those are very important words to me. I'm here today because God did speak those words to me about 24 years ago. I've been out of ministry about 7 years. I've told you the story. And I remember there was a pastoral change in the church in Smithers. And I thought, you know, I feel like I want to do this. I want to get back into ministry. And I basically the Lord said, no, you're not going to put your name in here at this church. And I went through a very dark time. And I remember going for a long walk, and I never felt so abandoned and so lonely and so desperately lost. And I remember praying in the middle of the night, and I was on my knees in the living room, and I just heard the voice, I see you. And it meant the world to me. It was like I had felt so lost and abandoned. And you know what? The pastor that came worked with me, and he's the reason I'm here. Because he was the one that needed to help me get back into ministry. And I ended up being the pastor of the church, just not back then. It was a few years later. And it was like, you know, you have to trust God. But he sees. Yeah. Let's respond to the Lord. Let's worship. That's why we stand. I want to sing this song. What's the proper response to God's word? Worship. This is the song. I usually sing it at the beginning of the service, but I want to call you to worship.
Time to give your heart. Come.
you're here this morning, and maybe you're on the fence, maybe you have never actually, maybe you've heard about the gospel and you grew up in church, but you've been running from God a long time. Hear his invitation. Come. Just like Zacchaeus. Come. Come to me now. Maybe you're in the pit of despair. Maybe you're sort of like Pastor Jeff talked about. You're worn out. You're bound up. Anxious. Maybe you're listening on the radio this morning. And you've heard this message about this man. Hear Jesus' invitation to you to come. Respond to his invitation to come. Just go, yes, here I am. You've caught me. You see me. I want to go with you. Whatever, wherever you may be this morning, his invitation is to come. If you're a brother or sister in the Lord, and he says, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I'll give you joy. If you're here this morning and you would like prayer, you can come up afterwards after we conclude the service, and we'll take time to pray with you. If you want to give your life to Christ, you're not sure, we will take time to pray with you. If you need some healing or whatever it is, we will take time to pray. That's what we do around here. There's grace. Yeah. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. Go in the grace of God. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Join us next Sunday at Grace Christian Fellowship. We would love to worship with you.